Isaiah 43. And glad to be back. Isaiah 43 and 19. And then we're going to go over to Zechariah chapter. So you can go 1 foot over to Isaiah 43:19, and the other foot over in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. So let's go. Isaiah 43:19 reads as follows. Behold, God speaking, I will do a new thing. Somebody say, he's doing a new thing. That's what 2020 is. It's a new thing. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Somebody say, now he's doing it. Shall you not know it? Question mark. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now go over to Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. We looked at this last week. Therefore say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, return to me. Everybody say, return to God. Says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Father, we thank you for these words this morning. We ask that, Father, you just use them as we continue to align our lives, shift our spirits. Father, we have so much in front of us. As Amber just said, this is only the second Sunday in a brand new decade. Father, this is the second Sunday in a year called 2020. So, Father, as we are still shifting our lives, shifting our souls, our spirits, oh God, that we're not just living a life arbitrarily, but God, there's some things that we are on this earth to do. There's some things that we've been purposed to do. So, Father, we just pray this Sunday you would help us, God, as we just align our lives to receive, to position our family for breakthrough, to see our children be all they can be, to see our homes, our marriages, our anointings, our callings, God, be all that they can be. So, Father, we just ask you just blow on us this Sunday as you strengthen this church who's in a corporate fast this morning. Father, begin to do miracles in the midst of service. Begin to bring revelation. Begin to bring deliverance. Begin to bring strength. Break bondage. Take us to heights unseen and unheard, oh God. For this is a groundbreaking year, and we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Before I get into it again, as we talked last week, and I was sharing with us about fasting and just really understanding that in this year, as the Lord spoke to me, I want to continue to lay the foundation of what you're in this year. This is a groundbreaking year. And it's amazing that, and we can put that graphic up for the year 2020. The Lord began to share with me. And before I push any further into my sermon, I want to remind you, because sometimes the one thing with Christians is we seem to easily shift back to where we were. We get excited and get high, and then we come right back down to where we were. The problem with the church is we've got to learn how to maintain. We got to learn how to sustain. And we get high so easy, and then we come down. But we need to learn how to get high and stay high. Come on, somebody. We need to realize that with God, your buzz should not wear off. You got to fight to stay high. Touch your neighbor, say, fight to stay high. Tell them, keep smoking that good stuff. Keep smoking that good stuff. That good stuff is everything God has for your life. Just let me clarify, amen, if you want to know what kind of church we are. Because we can shout about a year, and I'm excited about it, church. I really mean it. When God spoke to me, and I released it on New Year's Eve in a phenomenal service, he said, this is going to be a groundbreaking year. 2020, he said, clearly tell my people it is going to be groundbreaking. Just to remind you, groundbreaking means it's going to be a year of like innovation, year of pioneering, year of things you never experienced before. And I need you to get that in your spirit, because once it's released over you, that means that there is nothing else you can do about it. The only thing you can do is begin to line your life up so you can receive it. But remember, I told you, this is what God wants to see in your life. God wants you to have groundbreaking experiences. God wants you to have an innovative type of year, a pioneer. Meaning, what is that? I like to simplify. What does that mean? You will experience things you've never experienced before. You will begin to see, because a lot of times what we're looking for from year to year, month to month, day to day with God is always restore what the enemy has stolen from us. And that's one thing to get back what God has stolen from you, your joy, your peace, your sound mind, your money. But when you get that back, you've already had that. You should get that back. But so a lot of times we're fighting for what the devil has stolen. But what groundbreaking means, it's nothing he's stolen. You're getting ready to experience something you've never had before, something you've never been at before. As I said before, and the Lord clearly said, there will be a tax bracket shift. And I remember that Sunday when he put it in me. There will be a shift of your tax bracket, meaning somebody, you've always been here. You've never been able to go there. But your tax bracket, I still remember how it felt on the inside when he said it. That meant somebody in this house, wherever you've been making, you're going to make a lot more than what that was. You're not just getting a raise. You're getting a shift to a different tax bracket. I don't know if you ever had a tax bracket shift. That means you are leaping up to, you're kind of jumping to another level. And you say, God, I ain't never seen this much money. That's going to be the norm for you this year, because you're going to be groundbreaking. Pioneering, experiencing what you've never experienced before. That's why I've just been waking up happy. I really thought it was because the sun sets in Hawaii, but really, God said, you're going to be like this all year, because you're going to be seeing things you ain't never seen before, going places you've never gone before, seeing anointings you never experienced before. You're going to wake up with things in the middle of the night. You're going to be like, why am I thinking what I'm thinking and dreaming what I'm dreaming? It's because God is beginning to show you what he is putting in front of you for this year to go get. I believe some of you have already been seeing some things. I've been saying there's books that are going to be launched. I'm not just saying stuff to say it, because I'm not that guy to get you happy. If God doesn't say it, I don't release it. But when God tells me there's going to be books that are going to go forth, there's going to be things that you just have not been able to, businesses are going to break forth in this place. I mean, there's not going to be just a groundbreaking. There's going to be grand openings this year where you begin to open things that you've been wishing you could do. This, I'm going to say, this is the year. And what you've got to understand is when God does it, as we've been talking about, once you release something, you got to know how to live in it. See, it's one thing. See, a lot of times we preach people happy, but then they get into something, now they don't know how to act. You know, that's the problem with some people, is that whenever they, you know how it is. You know how you talk when you're not at church. You know how when somebody gets something new, they don't know how to act. You know what I'm talking about? You got some family members like that? They got something brand new. You know, they start acting brand new, and they just don't know how to respond to something they've been in. And this is what it is. And whenever God brought the children of Israel into a new place or promised land, he always gave instructions on how to live there. And in this groundbreaking year, what I've been doing is giving you instructions on how to live in it. Instructions on how to receive it. Because I think it was Chris Rock used to say, grand opening. Okay, all y'all on this side need to get saved, because we all were listening to something we shouldn't have been listening to, if you know that. He used to say grand opening, grand closing, because once you got into something new, you didn't know how to handle it. So you can have a grand opening, but then you got a closing because you didn't know how to maintain and how to sustain. And this year, church, you got to maintain it. You got to understand, if there's any time in your life and any season in your life where you don't want to just get something and go back to normal, you got to maintain this year. You got to sustain this groundbreaking thing. You can't let the devil sneak up behind you and you go back to lukewarm and you lose your high for what God is doing. You got to maintain this year, man. You got to get to a point where you say, listen, this is going to be the year where I hang on to having what God has said for my life, and I'm not letting the devil come in and knock on my door and take back what it is, and I just go back to normal. Like hell you go back to normal. You're going to be the greatest you've ever been in your entire life. I don't care if you're 50. I don't care if you're 5. I don't care if you're in Club 55. I believe this is the year where you shift to a new dynamic if you're in life, but you got to make your mind up that I'm going to shift this year. Slap somebody real nice and just tell them I'm going to shift this year. I'm going to shift this year. I like this scripture, 3 John 2. You guys know 3 John 2. Put it up there for us, because as we were, God began to say, this is what I want it to be for him. He said, this 3 John 2, put it up there. He says, beloved, I wish you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I like that they put up there, I pray that you prosper in all, watch what he says. I pray that you prosper in what? All things. And be in health. Watch what he covers. And watch what he says, and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God says, this is one thing to have groundbreaking. It's one year to experience what you've never experienced before, but I want you to hear the mind of God behind it. He says, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things. Everybody say all things. Listen, God don't want you to be prosperous in some things. I want you to understand, you're going to win in every area of your life this year. I want you to hear me right now. I want you to, you gotta hear what heaven is saying. This is not your past. This is what heaven is saying. You are going to win in every area of your life this year. Not just in your money, not just in your job, not just in your marriage, not just in your health. You're going to win in every area of your life. We are going to win in every area of our lives. You are in a sanctuary with a bunch of people who are going to win in every area of your life. Every time the devil wants to fight, you're going to win. Every time he tries to fight you in your mind, you're going to win the battle. Every time he brings a battle in your health, you're going to win the battle in your health. Every time he fights you in your marriage, you're going to win in your marriage. Every time you have a battle in your money, you're going to win in your money. Every time the battle for your joy, you're going to win in winning your joy. We are going to win in every area of your life. Well, watch what God says. He says, beloved, I pray, God, I like this, that you, watch what he says, you may prosper in all things. Watch how redundant he just gets. He just says, I want you to prosper in what? Let me make sure you're right. Prosper in what? And then if all things, then why are you going to talk about my health too? He's being redundant. I want you to prosper in all things and be in health. Just as your soul prospers. So watch what God says. He says, I covered your health. That was in all things anyway, but I want you to know there's going to be a double coverage on your health this year. You ain't just got a little coverage. You got double coverage this year. God says, I already want you to prosper in all things, but let me reiterate, and in your health. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, my health is covered. My health is covered. Cancer's got to leave. Cancer can't even come. Diabetes got to break. Tumors can't be there this year. I cancel every sickness, every disease. We cancel anything that will come against your health. God says, in all things, I want you to prosper and be in health. God wants you to be in good health this year. Don't ever think sickness is from God. He wants you to be in good health. Don't you lay down in fear. You wake up in faith. God wants me to be in good health this year. I don't care what you're dealing with in your body. Your God wants you to be in good health. Then he says, just as your soul prospers. He says, because your mind is where everything is at. I want your mind to be right. Because church, let me tell you, I know your mind because I know my mind. And my mind is a trip sometimes. And God says, I want your mind to be healthy. I don't want you to be, you know, in your mind walking in fear and anxiety and insecure and looking over your shoulder and always think negative. Your mind needs to be healthy, man. Your mind needs to stop like Bushwick Bill. Your mind is playing tricks on you. You got to get your mind right and say, mind, line up with the will of God. Mind, believe and think good things. Stop thinking negative all the time. Stop thinking you're going to lose stuff and die and ain't going to have enough and you're going to get your mind back this year. Let your soul prosper. He says, how many know your mind's a trip? Just wave at me if you got that same trippy mind where you always think you ain't going to make it and you always think somebody's doing something and you're insecure and you're up to something. Man, this year you're going to walk with confidence. I don't care what room you walk in, your mind will stay in check this year. You won't be looking over your shoulder, who's talking about me, think the sickness is on you, think you're going to lose your job, think you're dying. No. You're going to have confidence and your mind is going to prosper. Somebody say, my mind is going to prosper. And I pray that you prosper in all things. And one of the studies I did on this years ago, I found out in that prosper in all things, he covered your finances, he covered your body, he covered your mind, your body, and your money. God says, even in your money, you're going to prosper this year. Let me tell you something. I ain't mad at broke people, but I'm tired of broke people. I ain't mad at you. I've been broke. I ain't mad at broke people. I just need to clarify that because I know how life is, but I'm tired of broke people. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm tired of Christians being broke. We got to get to a point. I'm not mad at you. If you're broke, we should be mad together. Come on, somebody. You should be mad you broke too. Come on, somebody. I ain't mad at you. We should both be tired of broke people. Listen, you should get to a point in your life because that's where we were in our life. It's like, God, listen, I'm tired of being broke. I'm not living like this. Every time I look around, you're a prosperous God. You're an overwhelming God. You're an overflow type of God. Every time I look up, you said that you wish that I prosper in every area of my life. And God, every time I look, it's all about overflow. It's about prosperity. And God says, son, listen, I'm not a broke God, and you shouldn't be a broke child of God. And I'm going to take you into a season where you will not have a need for anything in your life. And understand, I know we go through seasons of things, but let me tell you, when you stay the course with God, you shouldn't stay broke. I'm not here to preach that grab it, flab it, and all that. Listen to me. I don't believe God called. Listen, God says, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health. And that's not just money, but that includes money. And whenever he says, give, it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and runneth over, that doesn't sound like when he gives it back, it's a shortage. He says, when I give it back, there's going to be overflow in your life. And church, I pray to heaven that we move to overflow. I'm not talking about just in numerical. I'm talking about in your bank account. I am speaking to your bank account right now. I am speaking to your retirement. I am speaking to your 401 right now. I know some of you better get a 401 if you ain't got one, because I'm telling you, there needs to be overflow. There needs to be stocks. Come on. See, the church is limited in its thinking. We've got to be better than just shouting and throwing a dollar and holler. We've got to learn to grow and understand that God is a God of wealth. He is a God of prosperity. And if you are settling for brokenness, you are in the wrong church, because I'm gonna preach you out of being broke. I'm gonna preach you out of debt this year. The anointing is gonna break every yoke on your life. It is time for you to live a life of prosperity. It is a groundbreaking year, and if you're tired of being broke, I need you to shout hallelujah. This ain't a broke church. Come on, this church ain't for people who want to stay broke. You come in broke, but you're going to walk in prosperity. This is the year I spoke what God spoke on New Year's Eve. This is the year you will give more than you ever gave before. Why? Because God's about to give you more than he's ever given before, and you're going to have more than you ever had before, and your life is about to change in this new decade. Because I'm at a point where I'm like, God, listen, we got to stop playing church. We got to get to what you have for us. I've been in churches where, you know, where you know, pastors would preach and all this stuff, and the people get high, and all of a sudden they have no growth. There's no shift. There's no change. There's no deliverance. There's nothing but a bunch of high people, a bunch of junkies. Come on, somebody. Sitting up in here, is this, you know, you ever go to a crack house? Sometimes the church feels like a crack house. Everybody gets high, and then they go out trying to find another fix, and they come crawling back in here. Because they can't maintain. I'm not here to shoot you up on Sunday and get you feeling good. I'm putting something in your veins that'll sustain you and maintain you and change you. Come on, somebody. This is a new decade. I'm tired of dealing with a crack house and a crack whore type of church. The church is not a crack house. Come on. We ain't coming here to get high. We come in here to sustain and maintain. We don't go out there looking for crumbs. We stay high. We learn to live on another level. Touch your neighbor. Say, this ain't a crack house. Too many people okay with just getting high and going back to the shack. You serve a God who's mighty. You serve a God who walked on water. You serve a God who healed blind eyes. You serve a God who called the dead to rise. He serve a God who healed people and raised people. You serve a God who healed leprosy. You serve a God who got up on the third day. And that God wants you to prosper in every area of your life, every day of your life, every moment of your life. And that's why I'm declaring we're going to win every day. Somebody say, we're going to win every day. You may have a battle, but you're going to win every day. Your mind starts playing tricks on you, you're going to win that battle every day. Somebody say, every day. Watch this. I got to go. Because I need you to understand, and in this year, let me get where I'm going. Watch this right here. I got happy for a minute. Amen. And understand that in this year of groundbreaking, God says it's going to be a groundbreaking year. It's going to be innovation. It's going to be pioneering. It's going to be things you've never felt, seen, smelled, or even drink before until God starts showing it to you. Your hands will feel what they've never felt before. Your feet will walk on what they've never walked on before. Your eyes will see what they've never seen before. Your ears will hear what they've never heard before. Now, church, we can do what we want with that, but I'm going to teach you how to live in that. And again, because when you get people there, if they don't know how to maintain and sustain, then they can't stay at that level. And that's why when God brought, again, the children of Israel into a place, he said, here are the instructions for living. And that's what last Sunday was about. That's what this Sunday is about. You know, and that's why my title of my message this morning is Prepared for Takeoff. Somebody say it's time to prepare for takeoff. Because that is really, and again, you got to understand where I was sitting when my mind started working. I was sitting in the middle of a runway. And as God began to share with me, he said, this is really what your job is to do, is to get the people prepared for takeoff. Meaning to align their life to such a degree that they can take off in this year. Because too many are left on the runway, and you can't take off until you align with heaven. And one of the things I noticed, Alistair, is when we were sitting on a plane, I noticed something, and I've flown, you know, many times before, but it just was just resonating more than before. One of the things I noticed is they pour more preparation in preparing to take off than actual flying in the air. And as I was sitting there, and I began to, you know, just listen over and over on the, the different four flights we took over the week is I was sitting there, I just began to notice that the preparation for takeoff was more important than actually flying and maintaining the plane. Because everything they did, I remember when we left Phoenix at 5 in the morning, whatever it was, we got ready to go, and then the first thing they said, hey, we can't go right now. They said, we walked around the plane, and we saw there was ice on the plane. Now, who gets ice on a plane in Arizona? Come on, somebody. We left early in the morning, and the plane had to de-ice. And then as I began, and this just become to me, and everywhere we went, I began to, you know, talk to them and find out that there's so much cabinet pressure that has to be right. All the weather gadgets have to be checked, and instruments have to be gone through. Everything goes into before we ever take off, we need to make sure we're prepared for takeoff. Because how foolish would it be to take off and then try to align yourself and get things right? Because what happens is they're making sure before you ever take off, they need to make sure everything is right. They're trying to make sure that your journey is a peaceful journey, that you can get to your destination. Because every time you take off, there is a destination. Just like this year, there is a destination for your life. There is a groundbreaking year. There are some things you've been purposed and called and destined for. And just like there, they understand that we've got to go through these checks. And watch this. They don't mind delaying you. I don't know if you noticed that you will sit your little self there and you will sit there and do all the stuff ready to go, talking about let's go, need to hurry up, come on somebody. But they're saying, I don't care how much you're ready to go, we're not taking off until everybody on this plane is prepared. And this is why I've got to align you for takeoff, is because many of us are prepared for groundbreaking and many of us are ready to go, God. Come on, God, do this, move, God, make it happen. And God is saying, I got to make sure that you are prepared before you start your journey. And sometimes, if you're not hearing what heaven is hearing, you will be delayed until you are prepared to take off. And my assignment on my life right now is to align you for takeoff, to get you ready while we're on the runway, to make sure that, listen, that January is actually the preparation for the year. Most people come into the year, you don't know this, watch this, you're ready to go in 2020, but really January of every year is preparation for takeoff. It is the year, it is the month where you align yourself to get ready to walk in everything God has for you, to begin to see the manifestation of what this year has for you. And this is what God, the assignment that God has really given me, and pretty much every shepherd should be preparing their people for what the journey is in front of them. You gotta understand that when we come in January, hear me very carefully, January is the month God uses for preparation to align yourself to walk in what he has for you. It's already been released over your life, hear me, but he uses January as preparation. He uses it for you to say, I need to align myself and make sure I'm in line to go where God wants me to go. Stay with me. See, a lot of times people say, okay, it's a new year, midnight, we crossed over, which we did. You're walking in something, but now you have to align your life for the manifestation of it. And when you do that, and this is why people say, you know, I've taught this before, why does God give us anew? Because whenever God gives you anew, he gives you an opportunity to realign. Because how many know that sometimes in an old year, after so much living life, you can get out of alignment. You know, you ever go to a chiropractor? And you go to a chiropractor to get what? To get an adjustment. To have them crack your back. You understand? To shift things back in place that are out of order. And that's what I'm here to do. I'm your chiropractor this month. Come on, heaven is using my voice to help all of us to get a realignment so we can get everything aligned for takeoff for what God has for you. And see, this is why January is so important, is that you take this month. That's why when we're fasting, we're not just fasting to fast. We're fasting to make sure our spirit is aligned to get what heaven has already released. Because we're in a season where it's released, but stay with me, even though it's released, you can't get it until you're aligned with heaven. It's almost like you have stuff on layaway that you can't pick up yet. It's already there waiting for you, but you have to shift something to get yourself ready and a vessel who's ready for God to walk in what he has for you. Now, the shout is you already got it on layaway. The shout is it's already sitting over there. See, I don't even know if they still got layaway right now. Okay, I don't even know if they still, because I remember back in the day, a brother used to live off layaway. Anybody been there with me? You understand what I'm saying? You know you put that joker right there. Come on, somebody. You make payments, and then you come get it. Listen, your stuff on Lelway has already been paid. Jesus paid the price for your healing. He's paid for you. Look, he paid it all. Come on, somebody. He said, only thing I like, that's why I miss a little bit about Wes Morgan. He paid it all. Up on, oh, y'all, okay, never mind. Yeah, y'all know nothing about Wes Morgan. That's a, and the thing is, he paid it all, but he says, here's how you pick it up. Align yourself. All you got to do is align yourself with the kingdom of heaven, and you can go pick up what I have for you and walk in it. But it's up to you to be aligned to go get it. See, the church just like to shout and go, I got it. No. Yeah, you shout. Yeah, that'll help you get there. But what you going to do to sustain, maintain? Because the last thing God wants you to do is get a whole bunch of stuff this year and your heart ain't right. Get a whole bunch of stuff this year and you turn away from it. Get a whole bunch of stuff this year and you can't even keep it together. Come on, somebody. That's why the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? God says, I'll give you everything, but you got to be right with me. You got to align. Somebody say, align yourself. And here it is. And this is why January, somebody say January. Let me get you there. It is essential to your, it is essential to your development, your growth. It is essential to the rest of this year. And this is why, because somebody say January is the first. And whenever you see January, to God, it's just not a normal month. It is absolutely one of the most significant months to the kingdom of heaven. Because all through Scripture, whenever God saw first, whenever God sees first, he uses that first to impact everything else. Stay with me. And when you align yourself in January with heaven, it can bless the 11 of months that are stand before you. See, this month is blessed because you're aligning yourself. But the rest of them are going to be blessed because what you did in this month is connect, the rest of the months in this year is connected to this month. And see, and when you begin to shift things in this month, it's not that, you won't have turbulence the rest of the year. It's just you'll have turbulence, but you got everything in order. See, a lot of times, even though they had all that stuff on the plane, everything was ready to go on the plane, it didn't stop us from having turbulence. But what it did was make sure that we made it through the turbulence. And when you get yourself right and aligned and get everything shifted right this year, it doesn't mean you won't have turbulence this year. It just means that you'll have Jesus in the right place. And I'd rather have my life right in turbulence than have my life wrong when I go through hell. Because it makes a big difference when you got it right going through something and you're not living. Come on, somebody. Because if I'm going to go through something, at least let me go through it knowing I got everything in order before I took off. To make sure I shifted everything and God's smiling is right at me and my heart is right with God. If I got to go through it, I got to go through it. As long as I go through it and I know God is with me, everything's going to be all right. And here's what we got to understand. I got to slow this thing down and teach you, get you to understand. Everybody say January. It is critical. Hear me. This is not just some Jewish thing or cultural thing. This is a spiritual thing to God. Is that when you look at Scripture, and I need to show you this before I get you where I'm going, is that you have got to take this month and to align your life with God. You get an opportunity to hit the reset button to make sure you're aligned so you can have a journey the rest of the year that's going to be peaceful, prosperous, healing, delivering, and groundbreaking. And God cannot give you that unless you're aligned in the right way. And when you look at Scripture, God has always used the first to move his heart. And he's always used the first to touch everything else. Let me show you a few scriptures here. Go over to, I'm going to run through this. Go over to Proverbs 3. Let me just show you a couple of principles real quick. I'm going to move through a bunch of scriptures for just a moment because even last week, I told you, it's not about shouting right now. We shout easy. That's fine. We probably going to shout in a little bit. But I need to make sure that you're getting something in you. I need to make sure that you can hang on and have understanding why we're saying what we're saying. Why are we fasting right now? Why are we doing what we're doing? It's because what God wants to give you is greater than what he's ever given you. And you cannot just walk in any way. It's time to get everything right. Somebody say, get everything right. We go to Proverbs 3:9. Watch what it says. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. He didn't ask for second fruits, third fruits. He wants the first. Everybody say the first. He wants the first. Watch what it says. Honor the Lord. Because when you give him the first, what does it do? It honors him first and foremost. Whenever you give God the first, when you wake up, you give him your first, the first thing on your mind, it honors God. He says, and watch what he says. He didn't say, just honor me with your money. He says, with what? Your possessions. He says, your life, everything you own, you need to honor me. Because, watch what he says, and he says, and, he said, but just in case you didn't understand possessions, he says, and with the first fruits of your increase. He says, in any area where you've been blessed, I want the first. I know it's going to get quiet right here. I put it right there in the notes on the plane. And I put right here, this is where the church is going to get quiet. Because what we've got to understand is that God says, I don't want your second fruits, I want your first fruits. Because he's not a God. There's one thing God can never do. Did you know there's some things God can never do? There's some things God, do you know God can't think? You see how quiet it just got? Thinking means I have to process. God does not process. God knows. Come on, somebody. God didn't have a moment like, let me think. He can't think about it. He already knows about it. Okay, y'all get that later. God has never had a moment being God like, man, Elder, I didn't even think about that right there. You know what just occurred to me? God ain't have, God is God. He cannot think because he knows. He's all-knowing. Thinking people have to process. God does not need to process. That might be a Wednesday night teaching for some of us. Because he is God. So what God said, a couple of things he can, and he cannot lie. You serve a God that when he says your shirt is black, that joker black. You like, it look red. No, that's black right there. Because what God says, that's why you got to understand and hang on to the word of the Lord. Because sometimes when God says something, it doesn't match up with what you see. When God says that I by my stripes you are healed, he is not lying to you. You're looking at your body, and your body looks like it has sickness, but you got to begin to say, if God said it, I'm hanging on to it. I don't care what it looks like because my God cannot lie to me. When God says it's a groundbreaking year, it may not look like it, but he cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie, because when he says it, he'll change your situation. If God says that you're wealthy, guess what? You're wealthy on the spot, and he cannot take it back. And you've got to begin to understand, you got to hang on to every word God gives you. He's a God that he cannot, here's the other thing he cannot do, he cannot play second. How God going to be second? God says, I got to be first. And when you see this, somebody say he's a God of first. Let me run through this real quick. Exodus 34, 26. I'm just going to touch on scriptures just to give you an understanding. Watch what God says. This right here. He says, the first of the first fruits. He's almost redundant. The first of your first fruits of your land you should bring to the house of the Lord your God. He says, listen. When you get something first, I want it. He says, me and you have to understand something. Your first, I need it. It honors me, but then there's also a connection to it because it touches everything else. And what God wants to do is he needs to know in your life he's first. That's why January is so important to each and every one of us. Every year it rolls around. It's an opportunity for you to say, God, I'm realigning my life, and I need to make sure that you're first, not in some areas, but in every, everybody say every area. Watch this here. Go over to, where are we at right here? Go over to Exodus 13. Oh, Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. Exodus 13, verse 1. Watch what he says. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2. He goes to him, he says, consecrate to me, watch what he says, all the firstborns. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, watch what he says. He didn't say it's yours. He literally said, can you give me that? No, he said, it's mine. Coming out of you, but it's mine. He says, consecrate to me, meaning dedicate to me. Whatever's first, he says, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, is mine. God, that's good stuff right there. What he's saying is, I want the first, because you got to understand what God is doing right here. And watch this. Let me fast forward you real quick. Go to, yeah, I'll give it to you. Verse 12 and 13. I want you, download media, give us 12 and Exodus 13 and 12 and 13. And you got to understand the importance of why this is. You notice he didn't say, give me the second animal, the second child. Give me your best child. He didn't even say, give me your best child. Come on, somebody. All three of mine are my best. Come on, everybody. They right in here, all three. But you know how some of y'all be looking like y'all got a best child. And he didn't say, give me your best child. Watch what he said. Give me your first child. He says, I need to be honored. He said, consecrate that first one to me. And he says, watch this. Did I say 12? Yeah, 12. Give me verse 12, please. Verse Exodus 12 and 12, and then we'll come to 13. And because it is significant that here it is. Watch what he says here. He says, is this where I want to be? I think I said Exodus 13, didn't I? Dude, y'all got to help brother out. I think I said Exodus 13, 12. Somebody get us there. They all right. Come on, amen. And you got to understand the power because, in media again, it's Exodus 13, 12, and 13. is that when God gets the first, here's what you got to understand. It's honoring him, but watch this. It's also faith in it. Okay, y'all get a minute. Watch this right here. Exodus 13, 12, thank you. That you shall set apart to the Lord, watch what it says, all that open the womb. That's the first. Everybody say that's the first. That is every firstborn that comes from the mountain which you have. The male shall be the Lord's. Go, next one. Go, verse 13, please. And in verse 13, Exodus 13, 13. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you would not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Watch what he says. He says, listen, for every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. There's a difference between a donkey and a lamb. I don't know if you know this. And not just in the animal noises, but a donkey is an unclean animal. A lamb is a clean animal. He says, so if you get a donkey, you redeem it with a lamb. He says, but either way, I need that first one. He says, because watch what happens, and if you will not redeem it, watch what he says, you're going to lose it anyway. Okay, y'all missed it. He says, if you don't bring it to me, he says, watch, he said, and if you do not redeem it, you should break his neck. He says, because it's not going to prosper you anyway. If you don't give it to me, it will do you no good anyway. He says, if it doesn't come to me, that first is no good to your life. God help me. And what I'm trying to get you to understand, it, and let me make sure you understand why he says, if you get a donkey, redeem it with a lamb. Because how many know that when we were born, we were donkeys? Meaning, we were unclean. But how many know, since we were unclean, he had another son who's the Lamb of Lambs. And that lamb redeemed us donkeys. Come on, somebody. There's a teaching connected to that, but I can't really get there because that's not where I'm going. But that's what the Bible wants you to understand is that we were that unclean animal, but God was able to redeem us, and he didn't have to break our necks because he had a lamb that came in and said, I'll take their place. Amen. Let me stay away from that. Here's what I need you to catch. So is God says, I need you to bring me the firstborn. Everybody say the firstborn. Here's why. Because the power of the first is not just that it honors God, it honors him, but watch this, it pleases God. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't know if you see the faith, but we're teaching right now. We'll shout in a minute. Whenever you give God the first, watch this, there's no guarantee that you're going to have another. Okay, y'all missed it. So when you give him the first, you're saying, God, I just gave you my first. How do I know I'm going to get another lamb? How do I know I'm going to have another? God said, that's where I want you to be. Because I want you walking by faith. Give me the first and trust me for the rest. Y'all missed it right there. Because what we like to do is get one, two, three. Oh, I got a fourth one. Give this to God because I already have some. God said, that's not faith. That's not faith to me because you already have some. Now you give me something left over because you know you have. But he says, give me the first, and now you sit back and wait on me by faith. You give me the first, waiting for something else to come. And while you're waiting, you're depending on me to make sure that you have everything you need. And church, that's the same way with tithing. When you give tithe and offering, that's why when you tithe, watch this right here, you've got to bring God the tithe first. It's going to get real quiet. I swear I put in my notes, it's going to get real quiet right here. There it is. Yep, right there. Well, because watch this. When you tithe, a lot of us, we tithe, but we tithe out of order. Tithing, the whole purpose of tithing is the 10 is not magical. It's because the 10% you give to God is a faith move. Whenever you tithe, this is what the church has missed teaching people, and this is why I believe people sometimes tithe and they don't do it correctly. It's because when you are to tithe, you give that to God first, and then you work on everything else. Whenever, let's stay with me, it's not that 10 is magical, it's that first says, now I gave God my 10%, now faith is going to work everything else right here. And God says, now you give me this first one, I'll make sure that this 90 is blessed because you gave me honor and you're living by faith. And it's my job to supply all your needs. It's my job when you're living by faith that I can make sure your 90 will do more than the 100 when you gave it to me. Because somebody say the first. The first is his. Let me prove it to you. Watch this. Go over to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4. We're just teaching right now. I got to get you to get this. Touch your neighbor and say, you all right? You all right? Stay with me. In Genesis chapter 4, watch this right here.
in verse 1. You know this couple right here, Adam and Eve, one of the most famous couples you ever see. Watch this right here. When they bore their first child, watch it. And she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've required a man from the Lord. They had a child. Verse 2, go to verse 2. And he goes on to say, then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Watch what it says. Now it shifts. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Verse 3. And this is important. And in process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought an offering of the first fruit of the ground of the Lord. Now I need you to catch two things. In Proverbs, it's very important that you understand Proverbs was after the law. This was not a law thing of the first. Proverbs was after the law. And this is before the law. First giving and first fruit giving is not a law thing. It is a spiritual thing. It is you see it all throughout the New Testament. And watch this here. And watch what it says here. And in the process of time, it came that passed that Cain brought an offering of the first fruit of the ground to the Lord. Watch what happened. Cain brought an offering. Everybody say of the fruit of the ground. To the Lord. Give me next verse. Watch this. They both bring off. Verse 4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Give me verse 5 real quick. Verse 5. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. Hold up. They both brought you something. Both of them came to church and said, Lord, here's my tithe. Put it in a bucket. Here's my tithe. Now, Cain is upset because God didn't blow on his. But when he looked at Abel, he blew prosperity and said, that blesses me right there. But you both brought something to him. What is the difference? And many people have wrestled with this concept. But when you start studying God and the power first, let's rewind back to verse 3, and you begin to see that they both brought an offering to him. And watch what it says. And Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. Verse 4, he brought him something from the fruit of the ground in the process of time. Abel also brought of the firstborn. They both brought something, but one brought the first. That's the only difference, is one brought the first. One, watch what it says, in the process of time, meaning he had a harvest that grew and he did not take. The process of times let you know God wants you to understand something, that over time he decided, let me take something to God. The process of time. Rewind, this is teaching moment. Verse 3, we'll shout our way out, but give me verse 3 real quick. Is that I need you to see the Bible. Verse 3, real quick. I promise you it's in there. It's Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. Thank you. And in the process of time, that is the key to studying Scripture, every word. It lets you know over some time, he came and he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, not his first fruit. He just said, give me one of these. Not one of the first ones that came up. God wasn't part of his first plan. He said, I'll give God something, but it ain't first. And then in verse 4, when we see, if we can fast forward to Abel, Abel said, Lord, my first one came out. Verse 4, if we can put that up there for us. I'm smiling. Abel also brought of his firstborn. As soon as his one was born, he said, this belongs to God. He was thinking of God when he got it. The other one, over the process of time, God kind of was like, okay, I see something, God, you did for me. Let me bring it to you. And church, what God is saying, I cannot play second in nobody's life. You can bring me stuff over the process of time if you want to. After you pay all your bills, do all you want to do. Well, let's give God something. That's the process of time. God says, as soon as it hits your hand, I should be the first thing in your heart. Let me bless God and get this out the way. And then I bring it to the Lord. And God says, when I see that, I blow on everything in your life. And I make sure that I take care of what I have for your life. Stay with me, because I'm trying to help you to understand why people tithe and they miss out on the blessings of heaven. It's not about tithing. It's the concept of it being first. And this is why I believe God has created the internet, so you can have online giving sometimes. I could understand that. And hear me, I'm not preaching to, I'm not into money thing. I'm trying to help your life. Because what we got to understand is, people say this, and I don't want you to be legalistic, because we've had people actually call the church several times. Well, I don't give online. How do I do it? Here's what you do. As soon as you get it, you write that check to the Lord. Boom, tithe. Boom, it's over there. Done. It's out of your head. It's there. Envelope sealed. When I get to church, I'm dropping it. Now let me pay my bills. Because what God looked at was the heart. He didn't look at what was happening. Remember, God, we looked at the woman that gave the mites. All he was doing is looking at the heart. I'm not trying to make you legalistic. Don't freak out. You don't do that online, whatever. I don't trust online all the time either. But you make sure your heart knows this is God and ain't no hesitation. And I'm not letting anything steal it before I get to church. It's locked, sealed, it's already done. And what God then says is when he sees the offering, I'm blowing on that. We've always, church folk have been so hungry for money that they don't teach people proper etiquette. And I've seen tithing work in people's life who actually put God first. And it's not just in tithing, it's in every area. That's why, and we're still teaching right now, we're still aligning your heart, is that's why we do not write checks in this from this church. In the whole month of January, everything's dedicated to the Lord. We everything is dedicated to the Lord because we believe in giving him the first. And Lady Brian decided a long time ago, we prayed before and we just, everything to the Lord. And that's important because we understand there's a power of first. And when you give God first, not just your money, but when you begin to line this month up, you remember those five pillars? Throw that up there for me real quick. We're teaching right now. There's five pillars that I gave us last week. And when you understand those five pillars of your life, I really believe in Return 2020, there were five things I gave you. The Lord said, tell the people this is where they got to return. And when you return in these areas, this is where God begins to be first in your life. And we preached them last week is one, when you begin to seek God. And when you begin to seek God in your life, put all five up, please, all five. I want them all showing at the same time. Not teaching, I just need them up there on the screen. And when you begin to seek God, when you begin to serve, you begin to have a prayer life, and you begin to have church attendance, and you're faithful in your tithe and offering. You have those five things in your life right now with God, God begin to blow on your life. These are five areas where I taught these last week, get the CD if you weren't here, but these are five pillars returning to him 2020. And Zechariah says, return to the Lord. Thus saith God. And we learn to seek him, serve him, have a prayer life, regular, somebody say regular church attendance. And you have a, not tithe life, but a consistent tithe life, it'll change your life for the rest of your life. When you align yourself there, God will begin to shift. And when you have these areas right, God is first in your life. All you got to do is walk consistently in these things, and I promise you God is first in every area of your life. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm about to shift. Because what God cannot do is God cannot play second to anybody. I'm almost to my points. Watch this here. It's because this is why this fast is so important to you, church. It's because there's one thing that's going to fight you the rest of your life. And it's going to fight you this month to try to stop getting excited about what God has for you. Because one of the things, that's why we're fasting, is because how many know your flesh and your mind ain't trying to fast. The first day of my fast was on a flight back to Arizona. And if you ever get on a plane, man, they put food next to you. Come down the aisles, especially if it's an over 4 or 5 hour flight, you get anything you want. And you can't even, like, move away. And then you're in the airport, and they got food, and you got this, and it's like, man. And then time zones are like, what time did I start my fast? Now it's 5 o'clock. When did this, can I eat right now? Mess all up. It was 3 hours this, got to California, it was 2 hours. I'm like, what time is it? And my flesh was like, just go for it. God knows your heart. That's the first thing my flesh told me. I was like, man. Oh, and you know what? I don't even like chips, but I wanted this certain chip. And I was like, just give me a chip. My flesh was trying to hijack everything that God had put in me. Because your mind and your body ain't trying to fast. And your mind and your body ain't trying to seek him or serve him or prayer or attend church or give. And that's why you're fasting. The Bible says, I don't have time to teach that this way. Your fasting breaks bondages in your life. Real quick, man, you got to come up here. Man, good to see you. Elder, come up here real quick. I need you guys to stand. I'm going to show you this again real quick. Elder, stand up here. Stand right there. Stand right there. Stand right there. That's good. One right there. That's good. Remember this real quick. Let me show you this real quick. Spread out a little bit. Spread out. Remember this real quick. This is why you're fasting. Man of God, right here, right here. I got you. That's all right. Watch this. I need you to catch this. Let me do it real quick. In case you weren't here, the Lord said, show them again. Here's this. This is your soul. This is your soul, that's your body, this is your spirit. And here's why we're fasting. Is because before you got saved, this person had no awareness of anything. This is your spirit man. And before you got saved, how many know you came out and you had soul and body? And soul and body, come over here real quick, hold arms, link arms like y'all getting married. Soul and body used to run your life. I did this last week, and I spent more time, but I need you to see it again, because soul and body is what used to go to the club. You remember that? Soul and body, like Mai Tais. Well, I mean, they like Mai Tais past the limit. Come on, my soul and body still like Mai Tais, but But my spirit now said, cut it off right there. Amen. But this right here, it was no limits to what you did. Come on, somebody. Soul and body said, I don't care about any relationship or commitment. Do what I want to do. Soul and body says, who cares about anything righteous or holy? Sleep with whoever you want to sleep with. Soul and body would cuss you out, tell you where to go. Soul and body used to just do everything because they were soul and body. And then you fool around, and what did you do? You got saved. And when you got saved, all of a sudden your spirit man became alive. And your spirit man is holy. Your spirit man loves God. The Holy Spirit is connected to your spirit man. And now your spirit man has been redeemed, and your spirit man is connected to heaven. Now when soul and body's up in a club, now how many know that this is a third wheel over here? And this is then you begin in your soul feeling a little funny when you used to didn't feel funny. Because now you got saved, this joker, your spirit man woke up. And now every time you say something, you feel a little something, it's because this person is alive. And now when you come to church and we start talking about fasting, your body and soul like, we ain't doing this. And your spirit man's like, yes, we are going to do this. And your soul and body like, nope, we're not going to do this. We ain't did this for years. And we begin to make excuses in soul and body. But now that you're saved and you begin to fast, what happens when you fast is the flesh gets weak and loses its hold. And then your soul begins to slide over and your spirit man gets stronger and leak arm. Because when you begin to weaken him, the relationship gets weaker. And when you feed your spirit with coming to church and reading the word and prayer life and putting God first, next thing you know, now your spirit is stronger and all the desires of the flesh are weak. And when I want to cuss you out, I just love on you. And when I want to do wrong, I just walk away from it, because the fast broke the yoke and the bondage that they had together. Church, stay with me. Because this is what happens when you fast. He is lonely. This is where all of our issues are right here. Because what happens is this flesh talks to the mind. And your mind starts thinking like the flesh. But let me tell you, I said it last week. Whatever you feed is how he's going to think. Whatever you feed is what's going to control your mind. And if your body gets everything, you'll have lustful thoughts and lustful desires. But if you feed your spirit, you begin to take thoughts captive. And everything that comes in, you begin to shift it and change it. One in one ear and out the other. And you start thinking and dreaming holy and seeing yourself going places that no man can ever go. That's what the fast will do. It will break things that you couldn't get free from. It will loose you from things you couldn't get loose from.
And this is why your flesh is going to try to talk to you. And this is why I say, when we fast, you don't fast and just survive it. You fast and you feed it. You got to eat while you fast. You got to eat the word. You got to eat prayer. You got to read a book. You got to put on something other than Beyonce right now. You got to put on something. You got to put on holy, holy something. Come on. You got to feed it. Because whatever you feed while he's weak, it'll help you to line your life up. Now, when you don't want to do it, you'll do it. And the thing you want to do, you'll actually do, because you're strong now. And this was the joker talking to me at the airport. But then I had to pull myself back and think about the goodness of God, and the spirit man grabbed it in control. And it became a battle. But Lady Brian, to tell you, I opened my Bible. I just started doing, I said, let me work on my sermon, feed my spirit. And all of a sudden, I wouldn't even think about nothing but just what I'm going to do today. Amen. Come on, you can be seated. You can be seated. And see what I need you to say. Come on, give him a hand. And church, here it is, here it is, here, I got to get there, I'm almost done. And so I need you to understand this. This is why you're fasting, and this is why you shouldn't just fast in January. You fast throughout the year as God leads you. It may not be 21 days, it may be one day. When your flesh is out of control, all you do is push back the plate. Weaken the flesh, feed your spirit, and you're going to feel stronger right there. Don't wait on a church fast. Let this be a part of your life. If you're in something and you can't shake it, there's an addiction, there's a struggle, there's an anger issue, a drug issue, a lustful issue, a pornography issue, there's a whatever, alcohol, push back the plate. Push back the plate. It'll still be a wrestling, but the more you do it, you may fail sometimes. You're like, man, I push back and I fail. Keep pushing it back. Keep trying it. And the more you do it, your flesh gets weaker. Next thing you know, you're out of your struggle. The hold is loose. You're getting better. There'll be a process, but somebody say, I'll be getting better. What we're doing is we're aligning ourselves. I need to put my graphic back up, aligning ourselves for takeoff. And church, and that's my whole job, and that's what this fast is to do, is to get our spirit right, to cleanse us, to loosen the hold that the flesh and the mind have been working together against you all your life. And man, if you can get a hold of that, you'll change your marriage, you'll change you as a man, a woman, a child, you'll become a better you than you've ever seen before. Somebody say, I'm ready to take off.
Here's a couple of things real quick. Let me give it to you real quick. Things you got to be, the Lord gave me, is in this process of aligning ourselves for takeoff, is you got to be willing to change. You've got to be willing to change. One of the things that I understand most Christians are, we're stuck in tradition. We are stuck in tradition. One of the hardest things to do is to find someone who's not willing to change. Most people are stuck in their ways, and they make excuses to stay in their ways. They will find a way to justify how I can still be the way I was. God is not calling us to stay how we are. The whole process of Christianity is growth. And as the Bible says, going from glory to glory and from faith to faith. It's all about changing, growing, developing, and processing. And most Christians don't want to change. And in this year of groundbreaking, innovative, pioneering year, you better be ready to change. And I learned this even on the plane, is that you got to adapt. You got to change. You got to understand there's things that shift and things that happen. And I begin to think about us. Let me give you the scripture real quick because I'm about ready to preach this thing. I'm so happy. Watch this over in Mark 7, verse 12. Let me show you this. Lord said, the Holy Spirit just said, show them this. Watch this. It says, then you, Mark 7 and 12, then you no longer let him do anything for his father. And mother. No, it's not Mark 12. That's amen. Somebody say, that's good, but that ain't the one right there. Find the one I gave you where it talks about your traditions make the word of God no effect. And he literally says your traditions make the word of God of no effect. And what that simply means when you see it, it means what you've always done, if you're not willing to change it, the word of God will not work for you. The word of God should always break who you were. We sometimes have settled, and when I say tradition, I'm not necessarily talking about generational passed down tradition. How many know you have traditions that you've created by just how you live your life? And some of us have never fasted before in your life, and it becomes a tradition. You've been in churches where they preached it, and you said, I'm not doing that. You're in a tradition. And your tradition will make God's word of no effect in your life. And watch what he says here. I think we may have found it. Thank you. He said to them all, reject the commandment of God. Yeah, reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. He says, you reject the word that you can stay the same. And how many of you know that I've taught on a church fast and some of you have rejected the word so you can stay the same? I ain't mad at you. I'm trying to help you. And what happens is, you say, that's not a tradition. If it's how you've been and how you were and you always was and you refuse to change, it's a tradition to you. And what happens is when we release that word, you've got to be willing. Watch this. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to be willing to change. Because you've got to shift. One of the things you understand, one of the first things you understand is if you're looking at your life right now, and if God is not first in every area, you better shift it right now. That's the first change really I should have came out with. The first change is if God is not first in any of those five areas of your life or in any area of your life, you need to shift right now. You have got to get comfortable not leading your life, but letting God lead your life. And pride will keep you making excuses for you to stay in the cockpit. Every time we got on a plane, watch it very carefully. The pilot is there before you got there. They're always standing at the door, and they stand there. Watch what they do. You don't go to the cockpit. Your seat is in the plane. It's only one person going to that cockpit. And I think somebody needs to get in the right seat this morning. God should be flying your life. You need to take a seat, get out of the cockpit, and say, God, take over this ship right now. I don't know where it's going, but you know how to fly. You know where to take me. You know how to get me through the turbulence. And somebody needs to make a change this morning and get out of the cockpit and let God be first in your life. The first thing you need to do, if God is not first, you got to make a change and make up your mind right now. Say, I have got to be willing to change. I hear the word going forth. God divinely said for me to be here on this day in January. And I'm telling you right now, God is saying you need to make a shift. I don't know who I'm preaching to right now, but pride is keeping you doing what you've always done because you refuse to trust God and be led by God. Here's the other thing you need this morning. Is that you've got to know that every child of God has got to be able to be led. See, one of the changes is most people don't know how to be led. That's why you don't want to change.
That's why you don't want to shift. You've got to understand that you've got to learn to let God lead your life. We wrestle with letting God lead our life. I'll be honest with you. If you look at any of those areas we talked about earlier, if God is not first, if you are someone who makes excuses not to tithe, I'm going to tell you right now, you're in the cockpit. If God is not first in your in any area, you are not. God is not flying the plane. You are. God, you've got to make a decision to say, I'm ready for God to lead me. I'm ready for God to sit back and be God in my life. I've tried for 20 years, 25, 30, 40, 50, say, I don't know how old you are, but you've done it long enough, off and on, trying to play a pilot. You've never been to kingdom flying school. Come on. You've never been to heavenly flying class. You've never seen the future. You don't even know how to get off the ground. You can't make it through turbulence and keep your life up. You are right now ready to crash at any time, but if you let God take over in 2020, he'll bring you through every storm. He'll bring you around every mountain, every sea, from coast to coast, north, east, west, south. He'll bring you through the pits of hell, over the pits of hell, through sickness. He will get you where you need to be, but you've got to trust God to fly your life and lead your life. Touch your neighbor, say, you got to learn how to. Somebody needs to, I need everybody to stand up. I just felt the Holy, I feel my Pentecost coming back. I need somebody to stand up right now, and I need you to take a step over something. I need you to step to your left or step to your right. I don't care how we do it. Ain't no order to this. You need to make a move and say, I'm getting out of the way. I'm letting God take over. I'm just, go ahead. I know if you're here, you might think I'm crazy, but I feel something. Somebody just take a step and say, God, I'm moving over so you can take over. I'm moving out the way so you can get in the way. I'm shifting. God, get back in the cockpit of my life. Somebody take another step and another step and let God be where you used to be. God, have my seat. Sit where I was sitting. Take over where I was dwelling, because I need you to fly my life. I'm putting you first. No excuses. You are first in my life. Look at your row and say, God is here. God is here. Look at your row and say, God is leading us. God is leading us. You need to listen to me. Somebody needs to just say, God, I you need to stop trying to fly your life. I'm trying to move past this, but somebody needs to hear this morning. Pride has kept you trying to live your life, try to maintain, hold your family together. God has never called you to fly your life. He's called you to steward your life. He's called you to go down the aisles and making sure your family is good, doing the right way, serving people. Is everything okay? And make sure you're prepared. While he flies it, you steward the thing. While he flies it, you make sure everything is good. Your job is to make sure everything is good on the inside while he flies you anywhere he wants to. You're not a pilot, you're a steward or a stewardess. That is your job, is to take care of your family that's seated in your life. It is to take care of the plane down the inside. It's his job to fly it. You got to know who you are. Touch your neighbor, say, you got to know who you are. Y'all sit down, y'all bothering me. I got to get somewhere. You got to, here it is. I got to go. I wasn't supposed to get happy. Watch this. Got to teach. You've got to get out of the way and let God in the cockpit of your life. And you're blocking him from the cockpit. Back in the day, they used to call it cock blocking. And you are cock blocking. You're blocking him from the cockpit.
Well, if y'all want me to go back to Hawaii, I promise y'all I'll go back. If y'all want to send me again, I promise you, I'll go back, send somebody else. Maui was, wherever we were was good to me. Do some more snorkeling, amen. But really, many of you are cock-blocking God right now. He's trying to get in the cockpit, and you standing in the way. Oh, y'all get that point, didn't you? God is saying, listen, I'm trying to get in the cockpit. I need you to get out the way. Literally blocking me from taking over your life. And if you don't trust me, then something's wrong. If you trust me with eternity, why not trust me with your children? If you're telling me you trust me when you close your eyes for the final time, or the rapture comes with whatever's after that, and you don't trust me with your marriage, or you don't trust me with 10% of your income, you don't trust me with serving and volunteering in church, but you trust me if you close your eyes for eternity, but I can't fly your life on earth. See, you have to learn how to be led. And one of the things that we don't know how to do, we want to run our own life. And not just trust in God, but here's what the Lord gave me. He said, learn how to be led by spiritual leaders. we've got to learn how to understand the order of our life is God. And then you have yourself and family. But God says, I also put leaders in your life where you've got to understand, first and foremost, I'm always first because I'm God. But then watch what he says here. I got to teach this to you. Here's what he says to you. Is he says, and this is important because in Hebrews 13, 17, it simply says this. It says to obey those that have thrown up their force quickly as you can. Hebrews 13, 17, please. He talks about having obey those that have rule over you. Hebrews 13, 17, quickly, please. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. That's a problem for everybody in here. The whole church, if you just got bothered, it's because you've been hurt or you got pride. No one says this but God. There's no man teaching you this right there in your Bible. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch over your soul. That's what preaching and teaching is. And those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. God, if I had a minute to preach. He says, if they are preaching to you and they're unhappy and don't even like you and just giving you stuff you really want to hear, it's unprofitable for somebody to preach to you what you want to hear. It says, because they have account, meaning they're responsible. Meaning, they can't say, what do y'all want to hear today? Let me tell you. If it's going to break the walls out, my church, I'm just going to make you tell you that everything you can do is okay. He says, they give account, and those that give account, sometimes they got to go out there with grief and say, man, I got to deliver this. But what they can do it when you do it with the joy of the Lord, understanding that the people receive you. And the people, see, the worst thing to do is preach to people who don't receive you. That's why I said, listen, I would build real life on the coast of, come on, somebody, right over there in Hawaii. I need to find a place where people said, I received God and I received the calling on your life. Because I've seen people sit, I was on that side of the pulpit for many years, and I've seen people sitting in the church talking about the pastor. I'm like, go somewhere else. I was sitting out there. They didn't even like the dude, but you're coming to the church to hear the dude. That didn't make no sense to me. He is feeding you, and you sitting there, man, don't talk about the chef. Come on, somebody, me to put something up in your food one day. I got to up. Yeah, I need to focus here. Cliff is coming out. That ain't the pastor right there. You know, put something up in your food. I need to, amen. But here's the thing. Here's what God says. He says, obey those that have rule. That word obey just means, it doesn't mean like be a slave or whatever. It just simply means adhere to what they're giving you. Hear to what they're saying to you. It's up to you to receive it. Can't nobody make, don't nobody follow you home. Don't nobody do that. Don't nobody follow you on Facebook. I don't. Come on. I don't know what you do, but what I'm saying to you, it's up to you to say, I heard the word, now let me change my life by the word. Not obey and become somebody's slave. That's just not what it's saying. It says, and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul. That's why I feed you what I feed you, because I hear from God, and God says, go get it. Go deliver the word. And it says, and so watch this. Let me give you another scripture here. Jeremiah 3:15, real quick. I showed this to you last week. I'm going to hit it again. And watch this, Jeremiah 3:15. He says, for I give you, what is it real quick? And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And he said, this is why it's important, is because you sometimes will feed yourself what you want to hear. And you need someone. Isn't it amazing? He says, I give you. He didn't say, you become your own. And this is the world we live in. Is the change we don't want to make is we don't want to hear from anybody else or be led by God or by man. And it's not being led, meaning obey. It means hear the preaching, and if you're sitting there, obey the word that was given. Obey, seek him. Obey, follow after, change your prayer life. Obey, serving. Obey, meaning follow after. Receive. Many people hear preaching and teaching, and they'll say, yeah, I'll think about it. God says, that's not what it's about. Change means I'm willing to change. I'm willing to be led. I won't let my tradition stop me from following the word of God. When we called a church fast, everybody's healthy to do it, should have been like, I'm on board. Your flesh was like, I ain't doing it. But many walked out here, that's for them. I don't know, I come three months of the year. I don't know, I may do it. No, you hear the word, you say, I'm ready to go get it. I'm ready to change. I heard the word because I'm submissive. I'm obeying the word that went forth. And if you're not willing to change, that's why the word, when you go to church, is just tradition for you. Church is not to come and say, I went to church, check it off. Church is to come, hear something, hit you in the spirit, make a change. That's what it's about, church. That's why we gather together, is so you can hear what the Lord is saying, and you can say, I heard something that changed me, something that challenged me, something that made me say, I've got to be different, and I'm going to go get it.
That's why I was excited to hear we had a tremendous showing on Friday night, because I said, God, they heard the word, and not everybody who's fasting could be here, but I believe this Friday, this place is going to look like it looks right now, packed out. I believe that everybody's going to come in with children running around, hanging on chandeliers, because it's just prayer. Ain't no order to it. I'm old school, baby. Let's just pray, bless the Lord, get into the oil of heaven and make it happen, because I believe when everybody's on board, God is going to bless and blow on anything where everybody's lined up. Somebody say, make a change. I think Michael Jackson had a song, Make a Change, something like that. He had a song. Here's why you got to also, remember I told you, and the Lord put this in my heart, whenever you're serving, whenever you're engaged and involved, Luke 16:12. I was going to preach this another way, and the Lord brought this to me, and I was sitting there on the plane, and it says this, Luke 16:12, if you have not been faithful in what's another man's, who will give you what's your own? I couldn't understand why he was giving it to me right now. And I was sitting there like, God, I don't get it. He says, son, it's a groundbreaking year. I'm about to give many of them their own businesses, their own things. I'm about to give them things they never had before. And then he said, he brought those five pillars back to me about serving. He says, son, I birthed this ministry out, my ministry out through you. And when they serve, they're being faithful with what I'm doing through you in the land. And when they're faithful there, I'll be faithful with theirs. Oh, y'all missing it right here. Because I couldn't understand, because certain scriptures have to make sense in my spirit. God, why am I delivering this scripture? And for half the ride, I couldn't figure this out. He says, because it's a groundbreaking year, and I'm giving them things in their life, businesses. I'm promoting them. He says, and they're going to want people to begin to do things for people following them, because I'm taking it to that level. And he says, if they cannot serve in my house while I've set another man over it, who said, who will give you what's your own? If you can't be faithful over something here, who's going to ever give you something of yours if you can't be faithful with something else? Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. The first step of leadership is not leading, but first being submissive and being faithful. And can I tell you the truth, with my wife as a witness and other people, before I ever pastor, I was probably one of the most faithful people at another church, serving the man of God, waiting on anything you need. I jumped. How high? What did you need? I'm there for you. My wife would tell you, to their house, to the church, after night, midnight, stand there, coming to church, because I was faithful with his, not even thinking about. But God says, because you were faithful, I can trust you with something else. And church, here's what I'm trying to tell you. It is a groundbreaking year, a pioneering year, and there's many things God has set in store for you. But if you cannot be faithful with what God has put in somebody else, who will ever give you your own to manage, to oversee, and to lead? How can you lead if you've never been led? That's why every volunteer in this church needs to hear me. You've got to learn to be faithful. When you volunteer anywhere, you need to show up on time. Time means faithful. Showing up when you want to is not faithful. Just because you got here don't mean you were faithful. Unless you had an accident, you just got here, lights, all that. But you just woke up, man, I get there. God says, how can I ever take your business to another level? Y'all missing blessings. I'm just trying to help you right now. I'm not trying to get nothing from you. I'm just trying to help you. If you understand how the kingdom connects to your life, when you are faithful, God is ready to unleash some things your hands have never touched or seen or heard or your feet have never walked on. But he says, if you're not faithful with another, who will give you what's your own? And when you serve, somebody say, when you serve, serve faithfully. I got to go. Here's the other thing. Point two real quick is you got to be willing to step out. Here it is. You got to be willing to step out. It's amazing to me that so many of us have so many things and we're not willing to step out. Meaning this, church, I like this right here, is that when I say step, I'm not talking about the spirit of fear. This is not spirit of fear. Stay with me. We broke the spirit of fear on midnight. I prayed, I broke the spirit of fear. Not like you're afraid to step out, but maybe there's another reason you're not stepping out. And what you got to understand is you've got to be willing in this year to step out. Everybody say step out. You have got to understand this year is going to cause you to step out of your comfort zone more than you've ever had before. You've got to step out because there's something in you that has to go out. You remember over in Matthew 25 and 25, you could throw that up there for us really quick. And if you don't have it, I already turned there just so I can stay flowing. Simply says in verse Matthew 25, 25, that's all right, I'm there. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground.
He's talking about a servant. You got to understand the story behind this. He has been giving something. There's a man that has been given a talent. He had been, somebody say he was given something. And what happened is he took this talent, and you go back and read it in your own time. I'm shortening it up. And the master gave him something, and he went away. And when he came back, he said, you didn't do nothing with what I gave you. You had something, but you didn't do nothing with what you had. And God, as I was sitting there, God said, this is the people of God. I've given all of them something. And they have something, but they got to be willing to step out and do something with the thing they have. And what blows my mind is, how can you have something, but you're not willing to step out and do something with something you have? And there's so many people sitting up in here, and it may not be a spirit of fear. Maybe you're delusional. Maybe you're self-confident, whatever it may be. Maybe you just, whatever it may be. But you've got to learn in this year, you better be ready to step out. I'm giving somebody fair warning right now. You've got to have a mindset that you have, first and foremost, you have something amazing that God has given you. And that thing inside of you, God is saying, it's time to step out with it. It's time to go forth with whatever you know that is living in you, that God has put in you. You've been knowing it's there. God is saying, it's time to step out in 2020. This is the year for you to go forth with anything. How can you have something and do nothing with what God has given you? And it's time to step out. Touch your neighbor, say, it's time to step out. No. You're not fully catching what I'm saying. It's time for you to step out and say, listen, I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done. I'm willing to take my gift, my talent, my ability, my anointing, whatever God has put in you. This is not a hide it type of year. This is a reveal it type of year. This is the David coming from the backside. This is the Moses coming from the other side. This is time to let it shine, baby. We got too many sissies, too many people who are lip-wristed. I need some people saying, I ain't scared of nothing this year. If it's going to go down, it's going to go down this year. If I'm going to start the business, it's going to launch this year. If I'm ever going to take my business to another level, it's this year. If it ain't in 2020, I don't know when it's going to be, baby. But you got to realize you got something. It's time to do something with what you have living inside of you. Tell somebody, do something. Step out. Make it happen. There's something inside of you. Why would you not step out? God said, tell them they got to be willing to step out. There's so many people who you don't know who you are. You don't know what you have. And you don't know who you're going with. And you got to understand that there's something. Somebody say, there's something in me. No. Put your hand on your stomach right there. Just say, there's something in me. Something in me. Man, you don't know what's in you. This groundbreaking year is not God's getting ready to. It's already in you. And some of you, this is that year for you to go. It's that year for you to go to the next level. It's that year for you to go out into the deep. It's that year you got to be like Peter and get out the boat and start walking. It's time to go for it. Somebody say, step out. It's amazing how you can have something you're scared right now. Not spirit of fear. You just intimidated. You just lack something right now. Boy, if you know who you were in the spirit right now, if you know what you had, if you know, you would already have paperwork. You would already be trying to get stuff signed with named on it. You get copyright done. You would realize you should have already been moving and shaking right now. If you really understood what I said at midnight, you should already have it copyrighted. You should have already been there seeing if the name was already, taken. You should already be shaking and moving and ready to go. This is that type of year. And for all my Club 55, I'm talking square to you. It ain't time to die right now. It's time to get back and live. I don't care how much wisdom, gray, back hurt, leg hurt, limping, twitch. I don't care, baby. Do it with a limp. Come on. I think 50 had a song about a limp or something. You got to get out and make it happen. I don't care if you on Medicare. I don't care if you're getting insurance. I don't care. It's time to step out and let God be big inside of you. Lean on your neighbor, say, don't die with it inside of you. If you tried it before and it failed, who said don't try it again? Come on, somebody. If it didn't work, do it again. Recalibrate. Shake it up a little bit. Let's go for it this year. Man, it's time to just leap and jump and go for it. I'm tired of people sitting down. I need some go get it type of people. Jump over a speaker type of people. Jump up. Say, I need somebody to say, I'm ready to go get it. I'm tired of being the same. Go make it happen. Step out.
Somebody just shout, step out. I felt something on that. I felt something on that. It might be my back from the jump, but I felt something on that. I don't know, but y'all shouted something. Hey, I think y'all healed me with that. Ooh, I felt something on that. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Hear me. Give me 2 Timothy real quick. 2 Timothy, I think it's 1 and 2. Give me 2 Timothy 1 and 6. 1 and 6. Because stay. Hear the Lord. Gosh. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. There's something in you. Sometimes you got to be reminded. Stand to your feet real quick. I wasn't going to do this. I had another point. I'm not even going to preach it. The Lord said I got to lay hands on somebody. I don't know who it is. If you got something in you and you ain't stepped out, for whatever reason, get here quick. I only got time. I don't even know what's going on. Just get here. You know if the Lord's talking to you. If it's not for you, stay there. If it's for you, get here. He says, stir up the gift. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. See, how does somebody got to remind you of the gift of God which is in you?